This is Jerry Webb with Best Sermon Ever. Welcome to episode 11 of Best Sermon Ever. I have a question for you today. You get asked this question all the time, but here it comes again. How are you? Really, how are you? And when was the last time you took a few minutes just to stop and think about your answer to that question? I'm not looking for the answer that says, oh, I'm great, or I'm having a good day, but I mean, how are you? How's your soul? How's your spiritual well-being? How are you doing emotionally? What are your relationships looking like? How are you? Topic today is about self-care. I think that before we can preach our best sermon ever, we have to take care of ourselves. And to put it in the words of our guest for today, we're just not very good at it. A couple of weeks ago, I read a blog article by Doug Talley. Doug is the state pastor for Indiana Ministries. It's a Church of God ministry that serves all of the Church of God congregations in the state of Indiana. Doug's well known across the whole movement of the Church of God. I know that many of you listening today know Doug well. His blog post was about self-care, and I just thought it was so good and so important that I wanted to have him come and share some of his thoughts about self-care with us. Because again, I really believe we can't do our best job preaching if we're not taking care of ourselves. Taking care of ourselves as pastors is a challenge. There's so much that we're involved with. So today, for this episode, let's hear Doug. And true to his personality, he jumps right in full bore go. So here we are. Thank you, Doug, for being with us today.
My name is Doug Talley, and I am the executive state pastor for the Church of God in Indiana. And prior to this role, I pastored a church on the west side of Indianapolis for about 25 years.
25 years. That's a good run.
It was a good long run and exciting, a lot of fun. I thought I may stay there my whole ministry, but God had some other plans.
That happens to most of us, doesn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. Hey, reason we're speaking today is I saw a blog article you wrote. It's on your ministry's website. I'll give the link to our listeners so they can go read it for themselves. But you were talking about self-care, and it made me think a bit. Actually, I was already thinking about self-care before I read that, but it kind of made me think about how we pay attention to our own self-care and how that impacts our preaching. So this sentence caught my attention, Doug. Said, I've concluded that pastors and people involved in ministry are horrible at self-care. Why do you say that?
Well, one reason is because of just observation. In the state pastor role, I'm often connecting with a lot of different pastors. And as I watch pastors at work during the course of a week, a month, a year, I just find that they don't do really good self-care. And I think some of that is because they're pastoring because they care about others. And so they place others' needs above their own. They even place others' wants above their own. And as a result, they're investing in others, oftentimes at an expense to themselves. And two, you know that we pastors often get our needs met through meeting the needs of others. And if we're not careful, we can develop codependent relationships with people to where their needs become larger than life. Mm-hmm. Their needs meet our needs. Therefore, it's kind of the ego fulfillment, the self-fulfillment that comes from that. And before we know it, we've neglected our needs for an extended period of time.
Oh, man, do I understand that. Even from the very beginnings of my call to ministry, I can look back and see where some of that played out. You know, sitting, I probably wasn't even 10 years old yet, was sitting in the sanctuary listening to a concert for our worship time. A name you'll know, but maybe our younger listeners won't. It was Doug Oldham. was there singing that day. And I remember as a little kid sitting in the pew next to mom and dad thinking, man, this would be, everybody's so happy. I want to do something to help others feel this good. And man, the codependency right there at the very heart of it. Of course, it took me a couple of decades to figure that out.
Yeah, unfortunately, you did figure it out.
Well, I'm working on it.
Yeah. You know, also a lot of times, Jerry, I'll have a pastor say, can we meet for lunch or something and talk? I'm just struggling.
Yeah.
And we sit down and we talk. And basically what they describe is feeling low energy, difficulty focusing. They're describing feeling the burnout effect that comes from a caregiver kind of role.
Right.
And almost always I have a conversation about when was your last vacation? Mm. How well do you protect at least one day off a week? Are you building boundary and margin into your life? And almost every pastor I talk with confesses, no, I just don't do good with that kind of stuff. I haven't been on vacation for a while. I haven't taken a day off for a while. And you know, it's kind of like, okay, here's your sign. You know, when we don't do those things, it takes a toll on us emotionally. And the result is poor self-care will catch up with us eventually.
Yes, it does. One way or another. What's good self-care look like for you or people you encourage to pay attention to that? What's it look like?
I think that self-care means that we're being a good steward of ourselves. We're being a good steward of our body, our mind, our the spiritual side of life, being a good steward of our relationships. And in order to do that, we have to have balance, we have to have margin, and we have to have pace in our lives so that we've got time for God, we've got time for the important people in our lives, and we also have time for renewal and recreation, something that becomes a distraction from the ministry focus we have on other people.
Mm. That was interesting to me. I read an article that Michael Hyatt wrote a while back. Of course, he's not writing just to pastors. He's writing to anybody who wants to read, but it fits for us too. He talked about energy, and you mentioned energy. It's keeping energy in the right place in the right way. His seven, I'll just share this for the people that are listening. His seven things to pay attention to are sleep, eating, moving, exercise, connect, which you mentioned with keeping time for the important people in your life, play, reflect, unplug, day off, vacation, recreation kind of stuff. I thought that was interesting. The one that caught my attention was connect. What do you see happening with pastors in really connecting, not so much with their family, although I know that's an issue, but about friendships? Are pastors making friendships, people they can really talk to, be open with, share their heart?
You know, some do and some don't. As I connect with pastors around Indiana, at least, I find that some of them tend to be a bit of a loner. I mean, they're friendly people.
Right.
But they do not tend to build strong relationships where they transparently and vulnerably talk about the things that are happening in their lives. Instead, they're selective friendships, and they kind of protect themselves from being too deeply known by other people. And yet it's kind of ironic. You know, the Lilly Endowment is located in Indianapolis, gives a lot of money for church service things in Indiana and beyond. And one of the things they found through their research is that if pastors don't have friends and mentors in ministry, they are more likely to get knocked out of ministry by the demands or simply burn out. You know, and since I've read that, I've become more aware and paying more attention to that. And I'm finding that to be very, very true. Which means that if we don't build into our schedule opportunities to enrich ourselves through relationship with peers and mentors, then we're going to become out of balance in that respect. And it will take us down at some point if we're not careful.
Yeah, I've learned that lesson. That's why I bring it up, because I've learned it the hard way. It hadn't taken me out, but one of the previous churches I served was just tough. People were tough. It was just a challenge all the time. And the thing that I think kept me going was a relationship with five other pastors in the city where I lived. None of them were my tribe. We were an eclectic group of pastors, and they became my best friends. And we helped each other get through really hard times. You know, the way I've done that here is totally different, kind of way, but I joined Kiwanis about 9 years ago with a whole different purpose than this, but I found a rich wealth of friends that just energize me and keep me sane in good ways. So it's one of the things I thought about in terms of self-care that I think can really help us. So let's go back to your article for a moment. You talk about some comments that you hear from pastors when you bring up the issue of self-care. And I'd like you just to reflect on some of them, not all of them, but here's one that you hear when you encourage pastors to take a vacation, get away. They say, things will fall apart if I'm gone.
Yeah, I do hear that quite frequently from pastors. And sometimes they're new at the church. Sometimes they've been around for a while. And what I try to help them realize is that if things fall apart when you're gone for vacation or for days off here and there, then you've made the church too dependent on you.
Okay.
And if you've done that, that really has nothing to do with the church, but that has to do with you and your need to feel indispensable and to feel like the church can't get through a week without you being there to do certain things or engage in certain kinds of roles. And it's like we build a culture in our churches that make it dependent on us. And then we feel indispensable. We feel like we can't be gone. And maybe that's true to a degree because we've mismanaged the stewardship of the church in that situation.
Yeah, that's good. So think back, you've been in your role now, but think back, you've been in your role now for a while, but think back to when you were pastoring. What were some of the things you did that helped you intentionally work on that issue, that you were not indispensable to the church?
You know, early on in pastoring, I heard somebody do a talk about the importance of not making the church too dependent on you. Therefore, you want to develop staff and leaders in the church who can function without your presence. So that if you're taken out by a crisis or an emergency in your own life, or you need some extended time away, that the church is going to function without there being a significant notice of your absence. And, you know, I realize that's hard to do because there's so many things as a pastor that I was initiating, coordinating, or directing. But I took that to heart, and I wanted to pastor a church that if I was going on vacation or gone for whatever reason, that they would be able to navigate things without me being there as kind of the savior. And then when I came to Indiana Ministries, I was even more intentional about it, because I realized it was a different scope of responsibility than the local church, but there are a lot of similarities. And I'm probably gone half the time from the office. And if my staff cannot function well without me for extended periods of time, then the whole ministry is going to struggle. Yeah. But I don't think that's just true about state ministry. No. I think that also has application to the local church. Yeah. And so if we build dependency on ourselves, then it hurts the church. It causes people not to develop to their potential. And that reinforces us feeling like we can't get away and we have to be there to make it work.
So the clues are kind of an internal dialogue when you start thinking about getting away and thinking, I can't go. There's too much going on. This might happen. I might be needed here. And to watch for those clues, if they're popping up too much, that's kind of a red flag waving, isn't it?
Absolutely. They should be signals to us that maybe we've got some principles that we've been implementing that are not healthy ones. And we need to step back and redesign some systems and even redesign the overall system about how we as a pastor interact with staff, leaders, and the church in general.
Well, let me take that to a deeper level, because I think what we're talking about right here, we're talking about the personal self-care of the pastor, but it's also the self-care of the church. But I've noticed that I've served a number of different congregations, unlike you. You were blessed to be in one. I've been in several. And I find that the churches have learned to expect that kind of leadership from their pastor.
Yes.
How do you retrain the church?
Well, you do so by expecting to receive some criticism and not let that derail you.
Yeah.
And I think a big part of what you have to do is you have to reframe people's thinking.
Yeah.
You have to give them a new perspective. And that means you've got to talk about it. You know, you've got to blog about it. You put it in a church newsletter. You weave it into a Sunday morning conversation with the congregation. You have to talk about it with the board. So they're having the same kind of conversation with the church that you are. But if you're gonna change the culture so it's healthier, then you've got to talk people into a new perspective or way of looking at it. Otherwise, you simply give in to their reinforcement of an unhealthy culture.
Doug, I think we just gave a lot of people weeks and months of study just on that topic. Yeah. Figure that out. Let's look at another phrase. There's no one to preach if I'm gone.
Yeah, and a lot of times when I hear that from a pastor, what they're saying is, there's nobody to fill in for me who can preach as well as I can. And my response is really to be a little bit testy at that point. And it's like, really? You're telling me you are so good that your church can't get through a week without hearing you preach, and that anybody who fills in for you is going to be so inferior that you just can't be gone. You know, and reality is most pastors are not way above average as preachers. Yet when I ask a pastor to evaluate their preaching, most rate themselves above average. Now, statistically, that's impossible. Mm-hmm. But we kind of get into this myth that because people tell us, Pastor, I really enjoy your messages. You're so much better than anybody we've ever had. Well, a lot of times people are telling us nice things to make us feel good.
Absolutely.
But if we start thinking we're the only one who can preach to these people, then we're setting ourselves up for failure at multiple levels.
Wow. Thank you, Doug. One more. You have more in the blog article, but one more. What if there's an emergency?
You know, I think that emergency thing derails a lot of people. To start with, I think a lot of times we create a culture in our churches that makes people dependent on us for minor emergencies. And as a result, we feel like people in the church are facing emergencies every single week that we need to be available to help them with. But reality is, what happens if you have an emergency and you call the pastor and he's not available or she's not available? Well, you call somebody else. And so, in other words, you keep calling people until they're able to come and meet with you and, you know, and help. And that's just how that kind of thing operates for people. Mm-hmm. So when we think we're the only one who can do it, we are just grossly mistaken in that. So I think we also have to recognize that if we're really going to be effective as lead pastors, then there need to be multiple people in the church who can help with emergencies. People in your small group, you know, that's probably where your first call should come from. You know, and some of that, we've created this sense of pastoral care, which if you read the scriptures, is not very biblical.
No, it isn't.
Because the scriptures call for congregational care. And I think that means that we as pastors sometimes have to step out of the way and not let responding to people's emergencies be the kind of thing that strokes our ego and makes us feel needed to where we make ourselves too vulnerable to stepping into every crisis and trying to be the person who's able to do everything for all people in all circumstances.
Yeah.
You know, it's possible to get a neighboring pastor to fill in and to help out if it's a really severe crisis. Lay leaders, come on, we've all got lay leaders in our churches that can step in and help. So really it's just a matter of having a plan, but I think most of us like the strokes we get from families when we were there for an emergency.
Oh, absolutely.
And that seduces us.
Yeah. You know, I pastor a small church these days. I can name 5 people, just without even thinking hard, lay people in our congregation that are better at pastoral care than I am.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, and I use them. Actually, I don't even have to. They're there. They half the time I walk in a hospital room or stop by somebody's house, they're already there or they've been there. So that's one little thing that I think all of us can work on. You know, and we're talking about this because we want to take good care of ourselves so that we can be present really fully in the preaching act, the preparation for preaching, and to give ourselves to that task really well. So how does this stuff impact the preaching moment in your mind?
Well, preaching runs us down in several ways. There's the energy drain from preaching. You know, that's why after Sunday morning, after you've preached a sermon and you've greeted people and you're headed home, you hope you can stay awake until you get home and then start your nap, because it's just an energy drain.
Yep.
When we preach week in and week out, it becomes somewhat of a cumulative energy drain. Preaching also can wear us down spiritually, because it's really a period in our lives that's affected by spiritual warfare. So when we're preparing, when we're preaching, there's a spiritual dynamic at work where the enemy of our souls doesn't want us to be able to focus, be effective, be helpful, be instructional. So there's a spiritual warfare dimension that also has a drain. There's also, the drain that happens to the mind when you're preaching week in and week out. And so if we don't take time to replenish ourselves, replenish our bodies, our relationships, our minds, and our spirits, then as a result, we can get stale in our preaching. Our preaching can have a certain level of fatigue to it. So I think pastors need periodic breaks. I've read and heard that a pastor should probably not preach more than 38 to a maximum of 42 times a year. So that's at least taking one Sunday per month off, though it's better to take several Sundays together than to do just one Sunday, you know, every month. But if we heed that, not only does it give us a chance to get refreshed in the preaching role, but it also gives our congregation a chance to hear some other voices. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times those other voices address needs that people have that we don't see, either because of our wiring or our experiences or whatever it may be. So not only does getting away from the pulpit give us a chance to get refreshed, but it gives our people a chance to hear someone else who can speak a word of God into their lives as well.
I like that, Doug. I hear the challenge of our listeners already, though. A lot of them are going to say, well, I don't have a staff. I don't have anybody else to preach for me. So how do you help? What are your ideas for a single pastor-led congregation? How does that pastor create more opportunities for others to preach? What's he do? How's he go about it?
Well, I think you start off looking in your own church, and you look at some people who are pretty good communicators, who have a heart for God and a heart for God's word. You know, my dad was never a pastor, but I remember a number of times my dad would fill in for the pastor. And I always cringe because he was my dad.
Right.
You know, and nothing worse than as a kid having to listen to your dad preach at you. But there were several people in my home church, which wasn't that big. And I think if pastors look for and then maybe meet with them, spend a little bit of time getting them draft a message in advance, sit down and talk through it, give some suggestions. So in your own local church, I think identifying maybe some young adults who are looking at going into ministry, who might be a part of a neighboring church. They're always looking for an opportunity to preach. And so some of them may work out well for you. Putting aside in the budget some dollars even to pay for an outside speaker from the community or even bring somebody in. Yeah, it takes a little planning. It takes a little bit of money to do, but the benefit and the reward of that is significant. And I've also heard pastors say, you know, if you can't find somebody to preach for you when you're gone, take a nationally acclaimed preacher, take a video of them, one that really fits a need in your church. And if you've got a half-decent video system at all, show that video, but get yourself away from the church for vacation and some time off. Mm-hmm.
Good.
I think there are a number of ways to work around it.
Good. Thanks, Doug. Hey, let's wrap up a little bit. Somebody's out there listening that's struggling. What's a good first step?
You know, I think a good first step is look ahead in your calendar for 3 to 6 months and mark day off a week, at least one, plan some vacation time, and try to at least build into a cycle of every 3 months, looking ahead at your schedule and building some balance and some margin through some time off.
Okay.
Ideally, where you'd like to get is the beginning of every year. You plot out some quarterly vacation time for the whole year so you've got dates protected in advance. But a first step would be start with the next quarter. Build in some days off, but also build in some vacation time where you've got multiple days together where you can hopefully get away.
Good. That's the other strategy I used in that church I told you about earlier. I made sure I got out of town once a quarter, whether it was vacation or go to a conference or whatever it was. Sometimes it was just go to a meeting. Sometimes yeah. It'd be a day. Sometimes it'd be 2 weeks. But I had to get out of town regularly. That's good advice, Doug. Hey, would you mind, as we close today, would you offer a prayer for the guys and gals that are listening today and just need help in this area?
Love to. Father, you know how we oftentimes struggle to maintain balance, margin, and boundaries in our lives. And in the area of ministry, we so want to help people and serve people that oftentimes we do so at the expense of caring for ourselves or caring for our families. Father, we pray that you would speak a word to our hearts that says it's time to stop those kinds of behaviors that are harmful for us and harmful for our families. And if we're going to do this ministry thing in the long haul, then we need to be able to build some routines and patterns into our lives that strengthen us and strengthen us for the long term. Just give us wisdom and continual ploddings in these areas, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Doug. Appreciate your time today. Lord bless you and your ministry. And we're thankful for what you're doing to build the kingdom, multiply it, expand it, and help it to be healthy and good. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks for the opportunity, Jerry.
You're welcome.
Wasn't that good stuff? I really appreciate Doug taking time to speak to us today about this topic of self-care. If you recognize, as you have listened today, that you need some help here, I have an offer for you. I would love to do a complimentary coaching session with you to help you begin putting some strategies together that will help you with self-care. If that's something you're interested in, drop me an email, jerry@jerryweb.me, jerryweb.me. I'd be glad to spend 30, 45 minutes with you just talking about what you can do to get better at self-care in your life, and then talk about how we can continue to work together in the future to make sure that you're coming to a place where you're getting the proper nourishment of your soul so that you can give proper nourishment to the souls of the people that the Lord has entrusted to you. I hope you have a great week. Make sure some of it is spent with some time off, a day, a few days. Get out your calendar, do what Doug said, schedule your time, make sure that you give an attention to yourself. Love you, brothers and sisters, and thank you again for listening to Best Sermon Ever. We'll see you again soon.